Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Yellowstone National Park, dark skies tourism, and a test run of annual legislative meetings. It's Tuesday, November 12th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. A new study from Yellowstone National Park highlights what's working well for visitors and what could be improved. Rachel Kramer reports.
The 2018 Visitor Use Study, published this month, is intended to help the National Park Service understand what tourists want out of their visit to Yellowstone. Officials say more than 4,000 people responded to surveys conducted from May through September last year. 85% of respondents said their experience in the park was good or excellent. Their top three reasons for visiting were scenery, wildlife, and thermal features. First-time visitors, nearly 70% of the survey participants, were less critical of crowding and traffic issues compared to repeat visitors. That changed the longer they stayed in the park. Visitors who were in the park 5 or more days also reported seeing people being unsafe around wildlife and geothermal features. Most of the congestion and parking issues were reported around Midway Geyser Basin and Fairy Falls, followed by the North-South Rims area and Norris Geyser Basin. Park officials say they're considering local shuttle systems out of Old Faithful and Canyon Village, where more parking is available. Yellowstone is also working on and planning several big road projects to improve traffic flow and safety for visitors. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
For the first time in 24 years, Yellowstone National Park wildlife managers have found no evidence of wolves killing each other. The park's annual report on wolves says 7 wolf deaths were recorded in 2018, but none were wolf-on-wolf deaths. At the end of 2018, there were at least 80 wolves in 9 packs, with 7 breeding pairs that were calling Yellowstone home. Out-of-state tourism in Montana has grown almost 25% over the last decade, but most of it is concentrated near Glacier and Yellowstone National Parks. People in the eastern part of the state are trying to attract more tourists with something many Americans are losing, a dark night sky. Rachel Kramer reports.
Light pollution prevents nearly 80% of North Americans from seeing the Milky Way at night, according to a study published in the journal Science Advances. This loss is leading to perhaps the next big thing, astrotourism.
When we do anything after 9 o'clock at night, that's usually our highest attendance.
That's Chris Dantic. He manages 4 state parks in eastern Montana that host monthly night sky viewing events.
We get out the big telescopes. People are learning about the constellations, the history, Greek mythology, Native Americans, and what that meant to them. And so there's all kinds of stories you can pull out of the dark skies, and I think that's why it's really important, not only for tourism, but for different cultures.
For the last 2 years, his staff and volunteers have been part of an effort to get dark sky designations for Brush Lake State Park in Sheridan County and Medicine Rocks in Fallon County. It's through the International Dark Sky Association, a nonprofit that identifies and protects some of the best places to see the night sky. Currently, the only dark skies designation in Montana is in the Waterton Glacier International Peace Park. The plan is to have the official dark sky designations in place next spring as a larger regional astrotourism project starts to roll out. Carla Huntsley is the executive director of the Missouri River Country Tourism Region in northeast Montana.
We had some travel writers come in about 3 years ago, and they said, wow, you guys got the darkest sky. You should really market that. And I thought about it. Well, I've always known our skies are just beautiful, but when people start telling you that, it's like all of a sudden, yeah, you know, this is a good idea.
With a $75,000 grant from the Montana Department of Commerce, Huntsley has been working with 23 counties in eastern Montana to develop a dark skies route. It will include signage and maps, a marketing campaign, and a calendar of events. Huntsley says she hopes the project will get families out into nature to realize there's a world bigger than the screen of a smartphone. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Two of the three Republican candidates for governor are scheduled to discuss jobs and the economy during a debate in Helena later this month. Attorney General Tim Fox and State Senator Al Orshevsky have agreed to the November 26th debate at Carroll College. Lewis and Clark County Republican Central Committee Chairwoman Lori Hamm said organizers were unable to find a date to accommodate the third candidate, U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte. Gianforte's campaign says no other dates were offered. The Montana legislature is going to try to meet every year. State lawmakers are scheduled to gather in the Capitol this January for a test run of annual legislative meetings. Montana Public Radio's Corn Cates Carney reports.
Montana is just one of four states that hold legislative sessions every other year. During the state's most recent session in early 2019, lawmakers widely supported a bill to study whether Montana should change its legislative calendar. Shifting the state's legislature to an every-year cycle has been debated in the Capitol for many years. Democrat John Sesso, the Senate Minority Leader, says he heard talk of it when he was first elected to the state House in 2005. But he says the idea is now gaining more traction.
I think we're taking a much more concrete step towards that objective.
Sesso says he has mixed feelings about moving away from the state's current system of 90-day sessions every odd-numbered year. But Sesso says it could help the legislative branch of government regain power lost when term limits were put in place in 1992.
I mean, we are have lost ground considerably over the last couple decades because of term limits. The executive branch, you know, being there all the time, you know, has the upper hand when we're considering the budget and legislation, and you know, the judicial branch is in focus all the time. And so the legislative branch needs to get its place back in our three branches of government checks and balances system.
Part of overcoming that power gap, Sesso says, is increasing lawmakers' understanding of both policy and the state budget. Republican State Senator Ryan Osmundson agrees. He was the primary sponsor of the bill for the legislature to study the issue.
You have a very, very short window as a legislator to become educated on topics, on issues, make effective change. And, you know, when it's only one session per term in a House situation as a House member, it just there's, I think, some good arguments for updating the legislature after coming into these days of term limits.
Osmundson says the legislative week scheduled for January 13th through 17th will offer lawmakers who tend to specialize in policy issues the chance to look at the state budget and vice versa. Training sessions are scheduled on state revenue, pensions, health and human services, natural resources, and other state trends. Again, Osmundson.
In today's day and age, I guess we live in much more of an instantaneous world than we ever have. And so it seems odd to me that you can't change something that you know to be wrong, or that maybe everybody wants changed, but we're not going to be in session for another 16 months. And so it seems odd to me that we wouldn't be a little bit more responsive than once every 2 years.
According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, Montana is among the four states in the country with part-time legislators who receive low pay and have small staffs working to help them. The Montana Constitution caps sessions at 90 legislative days every 2 years. Lawmakers here are looking into the possibility of breaking that into two 45-day meetings every year. But that won't be decided during the tryout period coming up in January, where no new policy is expected to be passed. Osmundson says the cost to taxpayers could go up if Montana moves to every year sessions. But he says the figures on that aren't clear yet, and the service of state government would be improved. The current estimated cost of the proposed legislative week this coming January is around $34,000, but that number is changing as plans are finalized. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.